In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. In my family, I'm the oldest. I have two brothers and a sister, and my sister is the youngest, 7 years younger than I am. And so being the oldest, you know, that gives me the responsibility to show my siblings how it's supposed to be done, right? I'm supposed to be the example of how to be a good child. One day, my younger brother, next youngest brother, Fred, and I decided we were going to do some exploring in the garage. You know, it's one of those garages where the car was never parked in the garage, so we thought it'd be fun to explore. We found a jar of tar. We thought, what a neat discovery this is. So we started thinking, what should we do with this jar of tar? Well, the idea came to both of us that there was a very good use for it. So we found a stick and we put tar on the handlebars of our sister's tricycle. We figured she's never going to notice this. This is going to be so cool. This is going to be great. In fact, we thought it was so great, we put some more tar on the seat and we put some more tar on the foot pedals. And we thought, This is going to be good. So we put the jar of tar carefully away where it was so that nobody would know that we got it out. And I went into the house and went to the kitchen sink to wash my hands so that any evidence would be gone of what had been done. And so while I was finishing washing my hands, my mother walked into the kitchen and she said, "Where did you get into that tar?" I said, "Well, how did you know we were in tar?" And she turned around and pointed at the footprints that were all the way from the entry door through the kitchen right up to and back of where I was standing. Okay. Well, I must have been, let's see, Patty would have been about maybe 2.5 or 3. So I was maybe 8 or 9 years old, something like that. And so it was at a pretty early age I found out what it meant to be accountable. And it's a lesson that I've needed to really pay attention to my whole life. There are things we are accountable for. We're accountable in matters of the world. And certainly you and I, as followers of Jesus, are accountable in matters of the Spirit. We don't just believe in Jesus. We are committing ourselves to follow Jesus. We're committing ourselves to live a kind of life that we're accountable for. Scriptures are instructing us in the lessons today about taking responsibility for the reality that God has given you and me a purpose. We have a mission. We're not just taking up space. We're here for a purpose. In Deuteronomy, Moses told Egypt that God was going to raise up a prophet. And that prophet's job is to teach people about God. And if they haven't figured out what that means yet, a prophet tells them. And if they veered off course, a prophet's job is to tell them. And what those lessons tell us, I mean, it's kind of scary language that's used, level of accountability. But it's saying that a prophet is expected to fulfill that. Well, the even scarier part is Matthew 28. I think we're all given that job. This is just before Jesus' ascension, and that's in Matthew 28 contains the Great Commission. And so in the Great Commission, Jesus says to all of us, "Go into all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them all I've commanded you to do." That's our mission. That's our purpose. It's for us to figure out our own spiritual pathway, to be closely connected to and dependent upon God. But it's also to convey that to other people. That's God's desire for us, to share that life and to teach that life through our actions. We've been given that responsibility to be change agents for other people, ready to share our experiences of God with other people, realizing that the words that we use, the actions that we use, carry the power to change people's lives forever. An example is in the gospel lesson of Jesus taking good care of the unclean spirit in the man in the synagogue. That is the power of Jesus' spirit living in us that we carry with us. So the people in Mark's gospel were startled as they watched the power that Jesus had. And that is the spirit, the power that lives in us. And it doesn't have to be as dramatic and as an exorcism of an unclean spirit. We might just be the non-anxious presence for a couple who is in conflict, or settling arguments in our family, or helping children develop good judgment and solid reasoning skills, or comforting a friend when they are grieving a loss. God calls us to bring him into those situations and to ask for God's guidance and depend on God's power rather than our own power. It's not all about what we can do on our own. We're asked to partner with God in all those situations. It is the power of the Spirit of Christ that lives in us. I really had to come to terms with that. I'm trying to think when this was. I must have been in my 30s that I would be with groups of people who talked about visiting the sick, visiting people who are sick, visiting people who have been moved into senior facilities, senior care facilities. And I was afraid to go. And the reason I was afraid to go was that I felt that I really needed to be fully trained and fully prepared, or I was going to do more damage than good. And it kept me from going. And then God stepped in and had a priest walk up to me one Sunday and say, "You know, I'm going to have a course in pastoral caregiving, and I'd like to have you attend the course." And I'm going, "Where'd that come from?" That's a God incident, right? I mean, they knew nothing about this fear that I had, and they just invited me into that. And so I did attend that course, and it included our doing the formal thing of verbatims, you know, where you, after you visit a facility, you go back to your car and you write down the conversations you had, and then with a small group, you critique what you said, and you critique what's a response that elicited, and then you learn from that, you know, how to do it better. Well, through all of that training that I had there, and also in seminary, spending a whole summer doing pastoral caregiving at a senior home, that's where I was assigned, a senior home, was to find out that, yes, there are things that I can learn to maybe do a better job, but the most important part about being there is being there. It's just to be there. It's to make the decision, I'm going to be there, and I'm going to rely on God to provide me with the words. I'm going to rely on God to provide me with the actions to do what God wants done in that visit. And so when I make pastoral care visits, ever since then, every time I sit in my car and I say a prayer, God, okay, I'm here, I came. So now I'm relying on you, God, to give me the right words, tell me when to keep my mouth shut and just listen and know what actions to take or not to take, because God, this is your visit. And I see the power of God's Spirit. And so it's that kind of accountability we have to make sure we are inviting God into those situations. You and I know God personally and intimately because of Jesus Christ. We have a human being who we can see how he acted and what he said so that we know God. We have God's breath, God's Spirit living in us. We're expected to act in ways that reflect our own faith, but also act in ways that help other people grow in moving towards God. Give serious thought to the impact that has come from God's Spirit living in you and the responsibility for allowing God's word to be spoken through you. Take on the mission of being with people who are weak in faith or with people who are new in their faith, or people who are just inquiring about what is faith. and allow yourself to be a carrier of God's presence. I can't think of a higher or more important calling that we have than to be that voice for God with our children, with our friends, or people we work with. And we need to remember that Jesus only had to use a few words to overcome that unclean spirit. He didn't need a long speech. He didn't have to memorize. I think he already knew it, but he didn't have to recite long pieces of scripture. Long speeches are not necessary to accomplish amazing things. May God empower you in your holy work. Amen.